Welcome to Grow Nation Podcast. I'm your host Navjot, and on this podcast, we talk to successful entrepreneurs who have made it big. We go deeper into understanding where they came from, what makes them different, were they born with a special talent, or their circumstances made them who they are today. In today's podcast, I have a close friend and inspiration for thousands, the Windsor guy, Aditya Soma.
Who came to Canada with a lot of dreams.
His initial story is no different than any student. He came to Canada, he did Uber, he delivered pizzas. However, like any other successful entrepreneur, he made a lot of mistakes and amassed a debt of over $100,000.
And at this time, my salary was $4,000 per month. My wife's salary was $1,600. And my cash flow probably $1,000 every month.
He comes from a very humble background in a small village in India.
My whole family suffered because of money. He literally said, like, I'm going to put you all in the jail just because you're not paying my money.
To support his family, his father went to the Middle East to work in construction, and that meant that he did not see his father for 7 straight years.
My dad, like, in Dubai, 12 people in one room, you know, that you might have seen some documentaries. Yeah. He sacrificed. It's not easy. So that always, you know, the gratitude goes with me.
This is a story of a village boy who did not speak proper English when he came to Canada, who found his escape in self-development books, who turned his anger of coming from nothing into a multi-million dollar real estate portfolio.
I was very, very frustrated. Why this is happening to me? Like, you know, why we don't have money?
Becoming financially free at 30, reuniting his family and becoming that first person in his family to turn their fortunes and walking the path of generational wealth. He's a realtor, an investor, a real estate coach, a husband, and now a father to a baby girl. He's none other than our Windsor guy, Aditya Kumar Soma. So what is it that I need to know from your past to understand who Aditya Soma is today?
An immigrant who came to Canada with a lot of dreams and no idea what to do in the beginning, lost. And from there, now a real estate agent, investor, father, mentor for multiple people.
So when you came, so you came as a student, right?
Yeah.
So when you came to Canada, like what were your dreams? Like what did you think that you will be doing when you came versus, you know, how different
very,
is reality
very good
now?
Question. So when I came, honestly, like no idea, no idea what I'm going to do. I came as a student for IT course, but I wanted to get into MBA. I know I can do some marketing, but I don't know what kind of marketing, what to market. I even registered for an MBA course and then I backed out because everyone told, you know, be in IT, IT, you'll get a job easily. MBA, you don't know English, you don't know the culture, you won't get it. So I didn't pursue that side. Kind of lost person at that time, honestly. All I know is I want to make money at that point. Like,
why?
At that point, because my whole family suffered because of money for years. Like, we were never together. Like, my dad, when I was like in second grade, he left to Dubai for a labor job and he never came back for like 8 years. So, and I was put in boarding school because we are from a small village. So probably I used to see my family once he's back and I was already in boarding school. So I never saw him. Like, I don't know my family. And it's all because of the finances. He was there and we were homeless technically because my dad left Dubai. I was put into boarding school and my mom, we don't have a house because before that he was in law office and all, he sold the house. So my mom lived with a her brother, like her mom's place. So homeless for years. Yeah.
And how do you think, yes, you wanted to, like, how do you think that experience, you, how old were you when this happened?
Oh, pretty much like since I'm a kid, like fifth grade, fourth grade. We used to live in our grandma's home and my dad was in Dubai.
Did you at that time think that I want to make money, or it was just you were going with the flow and some point in the future you said that no, that was wrong?
I mean, so at the early stage, at this, like when I was a kid, right? I was not ambitious, but we were like, whenever we had like an excursion planned from hostel, and I couldn't go because my mom said we don't have money. Little things like that added up, like lot of things, those kind of little things. Like I wanted to have a bicycle for myself, and I never had one. That's why now you see one here.
Nice.
But I never had one in my childhood. It's a little thing. But because my parents couldn't afford, because, you know, my mom used to say, we are already living in someone's house. And our dad is not here. Like, it's those all always started to, you know, point me like, and one day, one of my uncle, my dad owed money to him. He came home to ask for money. He literally said, like, I'm going to put you all in the jail just because you're not paying my money. And those words, like, remember me that on that day, I felt like, you know, this is when I'm in, like, I think 10th grade or 11th grade. I told myself, I'm going to make money. I'm going to, you know, literally, like, make them look at my dad, like, with a straight face of, oh, sorry. That's those kind of instances, a lot of them, you know, financially, like, family suffered. So,
Like at that instance when you were in fifth grade and, you know, like you could not go to the excursion, like did it make you angry or were you understanding of the fact?
Oh, of course I was angry. I was crying. Like, yeah, I literally cried. You know, and it's not only just one, right? Like it's multiple things like that. Always I used to ask this. And in the boarding school, usually everyone's parents used to come in the weekend. They used to bring little things. My parents never come because my dad is somewhere and my mom, she needs someone to bring her to me, right? So it was like a lot of disappointments slowly turned into angry, and angry turned into, like, you know, either you will become one of them or you wanna change that. And for some reason, I think it's because of my schooling. I always wanted to be that one. Okay, I'm gonna change this. I used to tell my mom, like, I'm gonna make money. I'm gonna make money. We're gonna have, like, you know, nice house, nice car, this and that. Like, she used to even scold me, like, don't dream too much.
But do you think that because of this experience, it just made you more mature in the beginning, or do you think that it just came in a lot later?
I mean, so the maturity, like, came in after the books came into my life.
Okay.
Now, until then, I was just experiencing all these things, right? Like in the family life and financial, personal life. But the maturity, like, literally since the books came in, got some directions. Okay, I can do something more. And all this, like, until I'm 27, until then I just wanted a better life. I didn't know anything because, you know, I'm just a replica of my family, right? Like, and unless you have some guide or mentor, someone who can tell you, oh, you're good at this, go do that. I didn't had anyone because they were figuring out for themselves. But yeah.
But you talk a lot about, you know, rich dad, poor dad. It has changed a lot of lives, right? And you were in this MLM conference, like Amway. Was it Amway?
Yes.
So talk me through what happened there.
So, you know, this is like in those days where I was trying to figure out, right?
Right.
I was like putting my hands into everything that I can just to see if something can work out for me. And one of those was Amway. And I used to go for events every week, just because, you know, something is going to happen for me. Somewhere I'm going to, you know, this network will help me to grow. That was my hope. And I knew this Amway don't work at that time because this is like 5-6 years ago, probably six years ago, 2016. I know it's not working because I was in networking marketing when I was in India.
Okay.
But I still went because the networking is going to help. And then when I was going for this events every week, one young kid, he stands up and he talks about this book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. When he said, like, this book helped me to become a millionaire. I'm like, what? And I knew that book actually for years before that, because I was into network marketing. I used to tell people to read this book. Right. I never read.
Okay.
So, but that word, when this young kid says that this book made me millionaire, that, like, something triggered me. I gotta read this.
Hmm.
And that was like Friday. Usually Amways have their events in the Fridays. That's in Michigan. And I come back home. While I'm coming, my mentor in Amway, he's the one who used to take all of us in a van to. So I asked him, do you have this book? Because he's a mentor. He has to find the book. He gave me he gave me the book while we are back. And literally like that weekend, I started reading after I'm home. Did not stop until I put like literally eating, drinking water, coffee, and then reading that whole weekend. I think that made a huge impact in my life. Like until then, I was like lost guy. Okay, I don't know what to do. But all of a sudden, now someone is telling me what to do. That was like a very, very big turning point in my life.
I think that was a small seed, you know, probably. And then you started reading more and meeting more people.
Yeah, of course. It's a starting point, right? Like, but, you know, everything starts somewhere.
Yeah, makes sense. That was a turning point. That's great. That's great. So, you know, one thing that, so you were in a small village.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is that one point where you said, you know, let's go out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, was that also driven by, I want to make money? And like, it must be difficult to get, you know, the money, you know, to.
Yeah. So honestly, that was not my idea. My dad's, he always wanted me to pursue to, you know, master's US. He wanted me to go to US. For some reason, one of my friends knew about, he had some friends in US and Canada. He was always towards Canada. So it was his dream. I didn't want to leave India. But for me, the reason I left was like, I was into network marketing, right? That company collapsed.
Okay, of course.
So I was actually doing very well. I was making 30,000-40,000 rupees when I was a student.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I got my own bike, you know, FZ.
Nice.
And then company gone.
Hmm.
All my dreams are shattered. I'm like, what do we do? And we are having a sad party with my best buddies. And one of them started saying, oh, buddy, let's go for Canada. This is like, you know, when I'm in final year. Oh, let's go. Sure. Because, you know, now I don't know what to do in India.
Right.
I lost my dreams. It was like, you know, a huge dream builder.
Yeah.
You probably understand.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's when he decided. And it was a very big decision, especially for my family. The burden, like, you know, my dad, he didn't have money because they were already struggling. Like there. But he said, because for him, he always saw in our village, like there were only a handful of people who left to America, Australia, you know, different countries. And those families were well off. So he knew, like, at least, you know, I struggled for years. I want my kids to have a better life. So he always wanted us to get education. That's why he always, like, even though they were in debt, they always, like, my parents, they made sure me and my sister got a good education, you know, sent us to good schools. At that time, I didn't know that, you know, later on, I realized how that played in my life, right? Like, you know, so, yeah.
Like how?
I mean, so pretty much like going from a kid, going in a, staying, I would have supposed to be in village. Like my, a lot of my family who were financially like my position, like my dad at that time, they stayed in village. They were doing farming. That's it. All they know is like doing farming. Struggling financially. Even now, I know like majority of my family, just because, you know, my dad took that decision to send me, you know, that helped, because now my family is around me. My dad is here, my mom is coming back, you know, she comes come and goes. Completely our lifestyle has, you know, now we have some freedom.
Freedom
to stay together.
Absolutely. And I think you know, like what would if I were to ask your dad right now, you know, like, what does he think about whatever you have achieved? What would he say to me?
Typical dad, tough, tough one. He's happy. He's genuinely happy because, and also he's doing what he wants to do.
Oh, really?
Okay. Because of me. So he's very happy. I can see that in his face. You know, I never saw him happy in my entire childhood. For the first time I saw him happy is like after he came to Canada.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah. because after he came to Canada, first of all, we were completely out of this financial debt. Because that's the first time in life for them. They were always in debt, always living in someone's house. And here we are in Canada. We have our own home. And they can come anytime. They can go anytime. They can stay however long they want. There's no that sense of freedom. They are enjoying it. Like, I'm seeing my family in this last 2-3 years really happy, which I haven't seen kind of my entire life.
No, that's big. Yeah. That's big. Talking about debt. So I think you were in a lot of debt, or, you know, you had to clear that. And then, so talk me through, you know, I think your sister also had got to get married. So just talk me through that story of, you know, I think that was a very challenging time in your life, right?
So this is like, I read the book in 2016, right? So I decided to get into real estate. I didn't have money, but I, you know what, there is a lot of other ways, creative ways. So I got in, and then 2017, 2018, I got like 3 or 4 properties. No more money left. And then at the same time, my sister's wedding was planned and my wedding also. So wedding, sister's wedding, dad didn't have anything. And whatever I had at that time, I almost put everything into actually negative because I was doing some crazy projects. So no money left and sister's wedding. And my dad said, just either we had like, he have a one asset that he like one of the best asset like that he could ever invest into. Either he has to sell that or I have to pay him. And I don't know, because by then I know real estate value, that one piece, I don't want him to sell because he don't have anything else left. That's his retirement. So I said, you know what? Don't worry, I'm going to pay you.
Okay.
I don't worry about anything. I'm going to pay you. And it was just
$100,000. $100,000. Wow.
And at this time, my salary was $4,000 per month. My wife's salary was $1,600. And my cash flow probably $1,000 every month.
So, Aditya, you know, before we get into, you know, how you got into real estate sales, like at that moment, when you told your dad that $100,000, I'll pay you, and your salary was 4,000, what did you do in the next one day or one week? Like, what is it that, like, did you make notes? How do I make money? Like,
no, first of all, was I was frustrated.
Okay.
I was very, very frustrated. Why this is happening to me? Like, you know, why we don't have money? I was so angry. Why you didn't make money? I was angry on my dad first. But, you know, I didn't know any better, right? Like, I was reading books at this time. Still, the frustrations is real. The angry is real. Like, something, I was completely out of my mind. One good thing happened to me. The best thing happened to me is my wife. Like, she was always like, bro, you know how to figure it out. She always says that, like, literally, same words. Bro, you know how to figure it out. I'm like, yeah, that's true. Actually, why am I getting angry? You know, I was for a few days, I was very, very furious. Like, I was like, even if someone ask me simple question, I used to get angry. I was very frustrated.
So what did you do next? Like, did you talk to someone? Or?
No, actually. So at this time, my best mentors were books. Because this is in 2018. And books entered into my life in 2016. So I have my best friends. Let me go back. And also YouTube became my best friend too. Because I was watching a lot of people. You know, Matt McKeever. What's up? Jeff Weibo. Graham Stephan. I was following these guys and they were doing something amazing. So I started to, you know, look more into it. I said, okay, I have to help my family, because one thing I know is I owe to my parents, because even though they struggled super hard, because of them, I got this life. Because of them, you know, even they didn't had anything. They put me in boarding school. I had a better food, better education. They were struggling. My dad, like in Dubai, 12 people in one room, you know, that you might have seen some documentaries. Yeah. Some people even dying at the construction site. So he sacrificed. It's not easy. So that always, you know, the gratitude goes with me. So yeah, I lost.
Just, you want water?
Yeah. Sorry.
So you said that you're working on a big project, a crazy project, as you called it, right?
Yeah.
So talk me through that project and what did you learn from that?
I learned a lot. So I was still new in the game. I didn't know much about construction. I didn't know that many people at this time. This is 2018, right? Like when 2017 end, 2018 beginning. I met some guys at a networking event, and this guy was having an idea of construction, and the construction with something new material from a different, you know, country they are exporting, and they have licensed this and that. I liked the idea. I'm a risk taker. You know, most of the times in my life, like, I took risks. So this idea sounded to me interesting, because the construction cost goes almost half. I found out in the city around, just trying to get to know how much would it cost to build. Everyone said $200 to $300 per square foot. And this guy told me, like, we can build something for $100 or even less.
Wow.
So we wanted to build something, a residential or a multifamily, to test out, and then we're going to go become a massive builders. That was our dream. So we were looking for land, And at this time, don't forget, I don't have money.
Wow, man. Hats off to your guts.
So we were like three people. One guy had a line of credit, home equity line of credit. Almost 300,000-400,000, because he's older, almost 45. He owned a house for last like 10-15 years. So equity built up. So I told him, I promise you, I'll pay you 1% interest. After the project over, we'll pay you with the interest, right? So I'll pay your interest and my interest. So he was like, sure. He trusted me. He saw the passion in me. So he and me are money partners, and the builder is the builder partner. And we were looking for land, and we got a land actually to build a fourplex. And that fourplex, this is near to university. And I said, like, I was looking for rooms, and there is not that many rooms available. Why don't we build a fourplex with 32 bedrooms?
Wow.
I actually have the drawings. We submitted to the city.
Okay.
We submitted to the city. And this is where the thing started to crack. Basically, the whole thing so far was going well, but there's something like between the other two partners was something happening. And then I was at this time still new. I just completely trusted these guys. And the cost started to go up. We bought the land for 120. And by this time, we already spent $80,000 and no city approvals. That's when my bulb like started. What? Why are we spending this much? Like, what? First of all, at the first place, because I used to attend networking events, right? I used to tell people, you know, I had mentors like my agent Cassidy and Matt. They were my mentors, like, they were my agents and, you know, supporting me for a lot of things. I used to discuss with them. They're like, this something doesn't sound right. Something is off. 80,000. I mean, then I started to question. And the question started frustration. And one day, the partner who put money along with me, he calls me and he literally cry with me. Older guy cry with me and saying, I think we made a big mistake. This guy is not bringing any materials. He's not getting any approvals. He's going through a lot of charges and he's spending a lot more money than we anticipated. And at this time, no approvals at all.
So did you do the project at all? Did you have to pay him?
So, and then we said, we don't want you to do the project, because we started questioning him.
Correct.
And he didn't like it. He sued us.
Ooh.
For 500,000 something, 400 or 500.
Wow. Okay. What happened next?
So we don't have an option. We have to hire a litigation lawyer. That's another cost. And the lawyers call him for settlement. We settled the case. We sold that for 100,000 something, 80,000 or 90,000 loss. Gone. We sold for loss.
Wow. And in that time, all this was piling up. Would you say that this was the most challenging time?
No.
Oh, no.
Right at the same time, My sister wedding. This I was going through this one and that one at the same time. So that 100,000 was about to come, and this already came.
Okay.
I was really frustrated because of the situation, right? But at the same time, I knew I can make it somehow. I somewhere deep down, because the books, by this time, like I read probably 100 books by this time. Somehow I knew I can do it. Even for this project, I knew, like, you know, I can bring money somewhere. At this point, I had no clue that I'm going to get into license. I'm going to get into become an agent. That was not planned at all at this time. But things happen.
But Aditya, you know, it's very difficult. Like right now, I know I can get money because I've done it several times, right? But at that time, like, did you have any experience in the past of getting money, or you were like, where did that self-confidence and self-belief come from?
I think books gave me that. Still, I was figuring out, like, still I don't know where I'm going to get the money from. This is when I started to think, okay, so that means now the real estate is not enough for me. I need to have some active income because I was just researching, reading. Whenever I have some challenges, I go pick some book or watch some YouTube videos. So I think that kind of, you know, gave me, of course I'm frustrated, of course I'm angry, of course, you know, all those emotions are there. But, you know, there is something that makes you different from, you know, who give up, right? For me is that I'm stingy. I want to make it happen because, you know, I want to change my family's life. Like, that's why for me, the financial goal initially was like very big. I want, no matter what, I want to make this happen. So, yeah.
And then you went into real estate. Like, is there anyone who told you that you should go?
So actually, I was watching one of the YouTube video by Jeff Weibo. So he, in this video, he says he made a, you know, he was investing on the side, and also he got his license and he made over 100,000 in his first year. That, like, kind of bulb in my head. Oh, so I can sell. If I sell like one property in, at that time in Windsor, like 200,000. So the commission is probably like $3,000-$4,000. So if I sell one property, it's almost equals to my salary. If I sell two properties, I can double my salary. Oh, why don't you? First, I asked my wife to get the license because I wanted to buy 100 units. That was my goal.
Okay.
I was not thinking of anything else. For me, this active business and all these things are not, I just want freedom. I want 100 units, each unit paying $100 to $200. So I have $10,000 to $20,000 cash flow. I'm set for life. I just want to do all the adventures. I want to just, you know, do videos and enjoy the life. That was my initial thought process. And that this depth shattered me, forced me to think about income, increase the income. And that video gave me directions. Okay, this is something doable. And my wife said, bro, this is not happening with me because I'm not a salesperson. I cannot be. And you're good at it. You're good with people. Why don't you get it? She tried, poor girl. I forced her twice, thrice. She wrote exams three times or something. She failed. She gave up because she's not the, she will do whatever I asked her to do in the back end. Like, she takes care of all the back end office. But sales is something like, you know, it's not her thing. Now she cleared the exams.
Yeah, I know.
But still, she's not doing any front end work. She want to deal with all the paperwork, you know, listing process, this and that. But so I was forced. And I couldn't think of any other alternatives. I thought about, actually, I got my mortgage license too first before this. But mortgage was always in front of the computer. I'm like, first of all, I'm not, I'm already into IT. And I was not enjoying that. I wanted to do something that is more close to people, you know, outside real estate, you know, showing properties. That was like, I was viewing the properties in my breaks for investment purpose. I was viewing like 5, 10, 20 properties. I never got tired. I felt that's something I'm enjoying.
You can do it for other people as well.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, and in the meanwhile, if I can pick here and there one property, one flip, I can make some more active income. So this idea started to roll in. And someone gave me an idea, why don't you sell your first property? Because it's no capital gains. And this is like almost 1.5 years into my first property, right? So I sold that and I made $70,000. That gave me even more confidence. I was almost like 180, 190,000 debts. So this 70,000 gone, so 100 came to 100,000 debts. So that 70,000 gave me confidence. I'm like, damn, just one property. All I did is like took it. I had no clue not what I'm doing. I just hired people to do the renovations. And I sold after 1 year. Good money, like 70,000 after no taxes, right? Like it's
net. That's better than your job, right?
Yeah, better than my job. My salary was 80,000, but that is before taxes.
Yeah.
So this is like, I'm like, I think, you know what? I'm doing it. I don't want to stuck in here. I don't want to even do part-time. I want to do complete full-time, even though this debts and all. But because I saw some results, right? Like I didn't blindly quit. I didn't blindly jump into real estate. Like I was reading, networking, you know, I was in the like-minded within the community. I was with you know, Matt McKeever, Jeff Vaiboa. I was meeting them, Cassidy, Matt, all these people who were already doing it. So I think, you know, all those, it's not one reason. Combination of everything helped me to
take that,
you know, take that leap of faith.
You talk about Mamta, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, she was a pillar, I think. Yeah. Like, how long have you known her?
Before I came to Canada, 6 months before I came to Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That long?
Yeah, 10 years. Like,
what's the role that she has played in this entire journey?
I cannot imagine, you know, any other person can support me that well.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot imagine.
Is there a moment where you thought that, this is too much? Or is there a moment where you thought that you were trying to quit and then Mamta was like, no, you can't? Like,
I mean, so she's like a partner in crime, right? If someday I'm sleeping, she will let me sleep. Even there is another important appointment out. She's like, she cared about me more than that appointment.
Mm.
I mean, I should not suppose to, but I'm just giving an extreme example. She cares always like about me. And for me, that's another thing, because I never lived in the family, right? I was always outside. So for me, that caring was like so supportive. And she, like, whenever I ask her to do something, like, initially every relation struggles, right? Like you go through those phases. First, like you're in a romantic mode, and then, you know, you get to know each other completely, and then the fights start to, at least for me, the fights start to happen. And then you get into the next phase or break. For us, we went in the next phase, which is like, now little, okay, now we understand each other, we gotta learn how to enjoy each other's company, and at the same time, we gotta, you know, if either we grow or we die. Is, you know, like typical Indian, at least from the background I'm coming from, what we have seen is like, you know, moms are like, they're always supporting the family by doing the household things, this and that. Like, they were never part of achieving any financial goals. They were just doing, they were the doing a lot of things, but they were not in the financial decisions. But for me, she has some different skills that I lack. We started understanding that more, and, you know, we started to, I always used to tell her, I'm your boss, because you're a good employee. And she also tells me, like, don't tell me to make decisions. You make the decisions, and you ask me to do, just give me the list of things to do, I'll do it. So we started to, you know, it's like natural progression, like we understood better each other. We understood whose weaknesses, you know, each other's weaknesses, and started to fill those gaps. And even till the day, like, you know, now she's been away from the country for the last 15 days. I miss her so badly.
Oh, man.
I was telling her the other day, like, I texted, like, she didn't respond the call. I texted, please come. I even offered, I'll buy a business class ticket. Please come.
Wow.
It's just, you know, having the right partner helps you immensely.
I think that's very important, right? So, and me and Simran talk this, you know, a lot as well, because I really feel that both, you know, people in the relationship has to support each other's goals.
Yeah.
Like, is there any advice that you would give anyone who is not married or going to get married or going to get into a relationship or struggling with their relationship?
Yeah. So I have multiple. Okay. I'll try to pick two or three most important ones that me and Mumta have some set ground rules we have
okay.
in our relation. One, if we have any challenge, like if we are not happy with about each other, anything, never talk to some other third party. Even it's mom, dad, doesn't matter. We never talk about the relationship problems with anyone else, except to other partner. It's either if you have a concern, either show in angry or tell me.
Mm.
But no, not anyone else. Because third party doesn't know both sides.
True.
And they're going to kill it.
True.
So if you cannot communicate with me, then just let's break up. I hope that day will never come. But communicate. And communicate with each other instead of like, you know, someone else. Because they don't know. So that's the first one. Second one is giving, you know, this is one thing I had to learn hard way. Like, I'm not only expecting what, you know, how she need to be, but at the same time, I have to learn how to, you know, be the way she want me to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this book actually gave me very good directions. 5 love languages.
Okay. You don't just read about money?
No. I read about different things because, nice. You know, it's a part of life, right?
Yeah.
Like if we don't know how to coordinate in many ways, like, so 5 love languages. What is her love language? You know, what does she like? What does she like me to see? One thing, she loves adventures and I love too. So whenever I want something or whenever I want to get away, like, you know, the other time we went to Mexico, the boys. Mm. So I took her first to CN Tower, do the
edge nice. Walk. Yeah.
Then I went to Mexico.
Okay.
So now she got what she wanted. Like, I mean, even then still she would give. But, you know, now it's not like just about me, right? It's about us. You know, you got to give before you ask for. So I give her so many things that built the confidence. You know, I so many areas where I supported like her versus like my whole family as well. Some things that I cannot share, but you know, I was in front of her. I'm there for her.
Mm.
So when you give, automatically you will get. So give, okay. Communicate, give. Give wherever you can, you know, even little gifts. I know she loves gifts. Once in a while, like, you know, I go to, when I went to Mexico, I got her a t-shirt. Half of the times I see her with that t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
Mexico.
Small like, things, right?
Small things.
Mm.
So you got to understand what your partner, you know, enjoys, loves, and you got to do that often. If I stop doing it, I know our relation will start to like, you know, I can, you will feel it, right? Like, you know, when you buy, you know, when the heat, when some communicate, because we are always in this business talking about real estate, this and that, the relationship start to like, you know, the romanticness gets out, then you got to do immediately when that romanticness is almost getting to like battery low, you got to fill it up with some kind of.
You need a timeout, right? Almost like a timeout that, you know, you're doing your stuff, I'm doing my stuff. Let's take a timeout.
And I see you guys travel, right? Like that's, I'm assuming something that
you both... No, similar, right? So like the other day, you know, I was like, she was not there. So she was in a conference and I was like, you know, like neck deep in work. And I was like, I need an out. And she was not there. And I was like, you know, I'm booking a trip to Cuba and we're just going to take 7 days and the team will take care of it. And, you know, we'll just not do much. You know, I think it's important, you know, taking those breaks is important.
Yeah. We fill the battery for the iPad and the phone.
Yeah.
Why don't we fill the battery for our own life?
Absolutely. So when you say, you know, your freedom agent, right? I think it's the meaning of this is much deeper. Now that I know, and now that, you know, the viewers also know that you had like a story, like a very deep, painful, you know, like story where you came out of it. Now you are providing for your family. You just had a daughter, you know, you're providing for her. Her life is, you know, like pretty much, you know, like very different from what you were.
Yeah.
Like when you say your freedom agent, like where does that come from?
So first of all, thanks to our good friend Sahas. When I had him a year ago for my marketing, you know, the whole things for us. He had a like a marketing purpose, he need to know me, right? Like, mm-hmm. so he was asking me all the questions, just like a podcast, literally. Mm-hmm. He was asking me just to get to know me well. And the more the more answers that I gave for all his questions, he was like, we were coming to that conclusion, like, what is most important for me?
Mm-hmm.
What I always struggled for, what I always wanted. Not to become an astronaut or not to become, you know, something. I always wanted that freedom in life where, you know, I can be with whoever I want. I can walk away from, you know, from whatever I don't want to do. Like the job I didn't want to do. I wanted to do something, you know, where I enjoy, where the time flies. I mean, you know, you cannot enjoy everything, but at least you don't feel like it's a pressure.
Mm.
You feel like you're achieving something. You feel like you're contributing for something. That will happen only if you do something that you enjoy. So that is, like, for me, freedom. You know, so everything boiled down to the more I know about myself, the overall what I really care for was freedom.
Mm.
And is freedom even now. Like, and I put this t-shirt on just to remind myself, you know, who I am and what I'm starving for. And now, you know, my goal is to not only do for myself now, right? Like, you know, at least now, though, by God's grace, my family and I were doing well with the freedom. Now I started to think, okay, you know what? Why can't I do the same thing for at least handful of people when I'm on this earth?
Mm.
So that's where the freedom came from.
That's amazing. No, that's so deep. Like it's let's go back to when you were going into sales, right? Mm. Did it occur to you, or was it a lot of people have insecurities, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was your biggest insecurity at that time? You know, like, I know that, you know, you really wanted it and you were super driven. Like, what was that insecurity that you had? Like, or did you have any?
Ooh, tough question. Because, you know, I was not really thinking about all this. Like, like many people, last time at the event, even the host was asking us, like, Avi was asking me, oh, you didn't know any language. How did you even decide to make this video? I'm like, you know, I don't know anything anyways. What's wrong with it? Right? Like, I know I want something, and I'm not going to, you know, give too much F about, you know, what I don't know or what I cannot control. I think it's because I was so laser focused. By this time, because, you know, I failed many times, right? By this time, it's like, you know, we are talking about after I started becoming focused, which is like when I got into real estate, I was very, very focused. Like, I know what my goal is. I wanted to double my salary. I wanted to pay off my debts. Like, so only money can do that. For me, money was the focus.
And you already knew that people do it and people make money.
Exactly.
And you just have to do it.
So I was not really going. I mean, of course, there is a lot of insecurity, right? Not my country. I don't know anyone. I don't know proper English at that time. Like, I was learning. At least now I can speak without breaks. At that time, like, if you watch my first video on the YouTube channel, it's like too much. It's like I'm translating my language to English and then, you know, I'm speaking. That's how it is. So there's a lot of insecurities, like, you know, I don't know the area that well because I haven't grown up here. I don't know anything about real estate. Like, until I got my first house, I didn't know what's drywall. I didn't know what's insulation. I'm dead serious. Like, I didn't know.
Makes sense.
So for me at this time, everything was like learning process. And I was like, okay, I need to learn. If I want to make money, if I want to be in this game, I have to learn. And when someone, you know, complain or someone put a negative review, I have to learn why that happened. And I have to just, you know, there were a lot of challenges, a lot of, you know, this kind of things.
So when hate reviews come, let's say they say that, oh, you don't know even proper English. I'm pretty sure you must have gotten.
Oh,
you know,
trust me. Even now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So like, how did you like, were you still laser focused or did it hold you back some days?
I mean, so in the beginning, good thing is I started literally on the day I registered for my exams, I started my YouTube, right? So I was doing multiple things. So I think this was a blessing for me, doing multiple things. So initially, I used to get so emotional, like so emotional when someone would go back to your own country. First start speaking about, speak properly, or, you know, wear something nice, or there were like so many different comments. Like, first of all, you were never born in Windsor. Go to your home country. What are you, why are you trying to sell Windsor? A lot of local people, I don't know if it's local or someone, whoever, a lot of negative reviews. In the beginning, it was like so hard to take it.
So how did you handle it?
Good part, I'm networking, right? Good part, I'm reading. So I always used to share with my mentor. Like first year, WinCity was not, I didn't start it. Cassidy started it.
Okay.
I was part of WinCity. I was an agent with WinCity. I was a member.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she quit real estate. I think pretty much like within 6 months or 1 year, I became an agent because they were flying, traveling all over the world. So, but the story is like now I was going back to this. People, you know, my mentors, my friends, real estate friends who were doing well. And Matt McKeever was a major role for me. I used to ask him, like, you know, sometimes I think there was one day that was like so low. I texted him, Matt, this is happening. How did you dealt with this? And he's such a humble guy. Always used to give time and tell, bro, look, is that you? He used to ask me some questions like, did you really do that? Are you doing something negative? Are you influencing someone's life badly? I'm like, oh, that's true. Then why are you worried about it? You know, you don't know what kind of situations they're coming from.
True.
Maybe they're frustrated that you don't have it. They don't have it. They're doing what you're doing. They might wanted to do the same thing, but they couldn't do it.
Because of any reason. And
who knows?
Probably it's their insecurity.
Yeah.
Not yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If makes you a lot did sense. Something wrong, just change that. No one is perfect. We all make mistakes. Didn't you do mistakes today? Yesterday? Yeah. Day before yesterday? I did mistakes, a lot of things. Just say that, learn from it, or, you know, dust it off and move on. That kind of, I think, you know, I started to do more and more. And I also, like, this is the negative side, right? There's a lot of positive people, like a lot of people supported me. Like 4 people waited for me to get my license.
Wow.
They didn't buy for 2 months. Harsha, he was part of my team now. Okay. He's an agent, but he was my first client. He waited for me for 1 month or 1.5 months.
Wow.
So when there's so much positivity, why should I focus on negative?
That's true.
There's, you know, there is already handful of people care about what I'm doing. Handful of people are getting benefited from it. Then why should I focus on this one negative mark? You know, it's like there was so many examples about when someone shows you a white paper and a black dark on it. What do you see?
Yeah.
You don't see the whole white paper. You only see that
dot.
Yeah. But dot is so small. The white paper is so big.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just need to remind ourselves. And sometimes I forget. My wife reminds me. That's why I say, like, you know, I miss her, because once in a while I get downtown and now I don't have her to support me. And I don't want to bother her much because she's having good time, you know, with the family. But yeah, that's how
it's important.
I used to.
Yeah, makes sense. So, like when you now, so let's go back to, you know, your first year. So how much money did you make in the first year, if you don't mind answering that?
I wanted to make a double my salary. My salary was 80,000. I wanted to make 160,000. I even made a video in December.
I saw that video. That's how I knew you. Yeah.
I actually 4 times it.
Wow.
Within the end of first year, after paying the taxes. Taxes are high, right?
Yeah.
Like my salary is high. At that time, no corporations for realtors.
Yeah.
So it was all
personal taxes. Yeah.
So after the expenses, pretty much everything personal tax. So it a heavy tax. After paying the tax, I paid off all my debts.
In one year. My
debts, and not the mortgages. Yeah, all my bad debts, the sister wedding, my loss, gone. first year, just 1 year.
That's how powerful it is, right?
Oh my God.
And that's how powerful the drive is, right? So, yeah. Like, why do you think people, you know, I see a lot of smart people, like, mm-hmm. a lot of smart people. What is it that stops? Like, is it only pain that can get you over the line, you know, from doing the $80,000 job and then four times your income, or now, you know, 10 times your income even? Like, is it only pain
that can do it? I ask myself the same question once in a while. You know, 6 months ago, I kind of completely lost focus.
Okay.
Because I achieved what I wanted. What am I going towards? So, I have everything. I'm doing what I love to do. Then why am I lost?
The pain was gone.
Pain was gone.
Wow. Then how did you bounce back from that?
And I have to ask myself even more deeper questions, like, what really motivates me? You know, what else that, you know, drives me? One thing, I always wanted to be that guy, or, you know, be that example for not only just my family, for my whole village, you know, people I grew up with, because there's so many young people, they could do much better, but they don't have directions, they don't have some pointers. Because of that, they were going, you know, they were just being where they are. I think it's just, you know, having that, any kind of pain, doesn't matter. It's, you know, for me, it's financial. For you, it might be different, right? For someone, it might be different. But you got to know what really drives you. Sometimes we lose. It's okay. Try to figure out, you know, I lost. And I tried to figure out with a different... I used to talk with, you know, our good friends us. Like, we used to talk a lot about this, like, you know. And again, having that network, having that books, I think, you know, always helped me personally, because having that like-minded people who are open to discuss, my wife and some good friends. Even the other day, I was asking you some questions, right? Like, what do I do in this situation? And you gave me some suggestions. Having that network... you know, and building that up, right? Like, it's
true.
So no one knows whether you have that drive or not. Only you knows whether you want
something. So what's driving you right now?
Right now, I want to help, you know, not just myself now. I want to have like at least 1,000 people achieve financial freedom.
That's what drives you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, like, you know, I'm helping my agents to make solid return. I'm helping, you know, a lot of people has the clients to achieve that freedom, like make that better decisions with their finances. You know,
do you think the intent of content, you know, like, you were creating content earlier to get more leads, right? Now that's still there, right? Do you think that intention has also changed? Okay, so are you making more content to motivate other people to do what you did?
Now, literally, I separated two different things. Like, it took me time to bounce back onto this ideology and start implementing, right? From recent times, literally, like, very recently, I hired a full-time video guy who is here shooting the video. For a reason is, like, one of the reason, in the beginning, it's all about, like, how to get more business, right? Now, I'm still doing that because, you know, if I get more business, I can help more agents in my team. So that is also like marketing myself, marketing Vincity, marketing the properties is actually helping my agents to, because, you know, I have my cousin who is brand new in the country, only 1 year. He actually doing well over 200,000.
Yeah. Happy year though.
Yeah. So, and my other agents, like another guy, new guy, 4 months in the business, still working part-time, already got to like 3 to 4 sales a month, which is 20 to 30,000 income per month. That's something makes me, you know, so whatever I'm doing, the actions are like more, how can I help people around me? How can I see them become a millionaire? You know, see them have like 5-10 properties. That's why, like, you know, I'm always like, we don't just talk about sales in our team meetings. We talk about, like, oh, which property you want to buy. Like my new agent, he just got the house right opposite to me.
Oh, nice.
And he negotiated the killer deal on it.
Oh, wow.
Because we were always like talking about investing, right? Like the freedom. So, yeah.
I think from not having a lot of money and not seeing your family have a lot of money to having everything that you can buy, you know, if you want to take a leave, you can do that. Like, does it in at any point make you feel invincible, or like, did you at any point lose, you are very grounded, I know that, you know, you're very down to earth, but did money change anything in you?
Yeah, I mean, so like I was telling you, right, I was lost again 6 months ago. I kind of, I think, you know, it's because having enough, right? Like now your stomach is full. When your stomach is full, you want to just sleep or relax. You know, I got to that point where, you know, I didn't want to do too much. But something inside me, like, why do you want to stop when it's working out? Why do you want to stop when you can, you know, do something better? It's always like, you know, when this Steve Jobs, Apple founder, who, when he invented the first phone, would he, if he would have relaxed, would he do the next one? If he would have relaxed, would the Apple Watches would come out? You know, so it's always like, it's when you go towards, when you keep doing what you really enjoy doing, or that is impacting someone's life, because, you know, he employed what?
Thousands of people.
So that means thousands of families are getting, you know, better life because of him. Right? I didn't know all these things before. So this kind of, you know, questioning, processing, I went down, and but not completely, like, you know, one thing, I think by God's grace, family values, like my dad always used to say, oh, you know, we come from, you know, nothing. Like we don't have anything. Just remember that. Don't forget that, you know, you're not someone, you know, top. In our language, we say top. You're not like something, this guy who has everything. You will be shaken within no time. Like if one stupid move, you will be shaken. So why do you want to be that? Like, that's one thing I always try to, you know, stay grounded.
Is there anything that you are scared of, like right now? Like, you have everything, you are helping more people. But for me, I'll tell you my first, you know, because this could be a little bit deep, right? So, like for me, last year when I made a lot of money, I was like, I now know how to make money.
Yeah,
I now know how to scale. The only thing that can take this away from me, even if I lose all the money, I can build it back. But the only thing that can take that away from me is my health, which I was not working on. And I was like, if I fall sick, everything is gone. If I lose my mind, everything is gone, right? That was the motivating, that, you know, like 7-8 months ago, I was just hitting almost 3-figure mark on my weight. And I was like, no. And that's when I got a personal trainer. I started training. I reduced weight, built some muscle, eating healthier.
Yep.
And every time that I'm not gymming, you know, I'm like, no, you know, like, because that's the only thing that can be taken. So, you know, for me, the biggest fear is that I now know what I want to do the rest of my life, but I may not live long enough. And I really want to live long enough to do that. So, you know, like that's my fear, right? Like, is there anything, you're already fit and everything, you're doing that, right? But is there anything that...
I mean, so once in a while, I want to try some crazy things. Like, you know, building a 100-unit apartment building. But there is always like two sides of the process, right? Like, honestly, I never really took time to think that deeply on fear. But once in a while, I'm like, you know, if I take this project, what if I lose this? Or if I, you know, do some things that I wanted to, like, for example, I wanted to, once in a while, I have a thought process of like, you know what, now we are doing good by helping a lot of clients and we have decent finances. Why don't we just, you know, completely move to India? I have that, like,
okay.
that thought process keep on coming for me once in a while. You know, I just want to have like whatever assets I have, I want to sell completely.
Wow.
And move to India, like, because I grew up there. I am all my memories are there. And then the fear kicks in, like, you know, what do I have? Like, now all my friends are everywhere else. They're doing something else. Like, I'm here, like you said, like, you know, we are already doing what we, you know, makes a difference in the world.
Yeah, we are meant to do, right? At least, like, sometimes you feel just you're just, and maybe you don't know what you don't know, you know, maybe you're meant to do more better things, right?
Exactly.
But right now you are in that space where you are like, I'm doing what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, honestly, didn't give it that deep thought of fear side.
Yeah.
Maybe next time, if I'll try to think a little bit more deeper on, okay, what am I fearful for? I think I'm kind of a guy, always like, F it. I don't really care much. Like, I mean, we all have like little fears, right? Like, you know, oh, to push the client to write an offer on this one or not, or, you know, to whether to buy this property or not. We have those fears. But not like something really...
But that you were over it, right? Because you were doing it from a position of pain and you wanted money and you had already done those mistakes. So, and once you, you know, fail at something, you don't feel bad about failing again.
Yeah.
At that, you know, you're like, okay, you know, I recovered once. You know, you'll
do it. You know, actually, this triggered me. Like now when you're talking the fear, what my recent fears, I don't want to be the father that my dad see, my daughter going to see me, right? Like what I'm going to do. I don't want to be the guy who is sit around, do nothing or do I'm feared to be, not to be the dad that she don't want to. Like, I want to make sure I will be the dad.
Oh, yeah, the role
way
model.
I wanted to be. Like, you know, what kind of role model I wanted in my life. Like, you know, I missed my dad in many, many areas. He was not there for a lot of things. Not, I mean, but for games, this and that. Like, now, I feel like, you know, I don't have someone, like, solidly in the family to help me, like, make some decisions on business side. Make some decisions on investment side. Because, you know, it's a lot of things, moving pieces. They don't understand a lot of things. I cannot even no matter how much I explain, because he's little like a kid. But I wanted to be that person who is like, you know, beta your numbers check karo, wo karo, like, you know, something like that, like, you know, or do look, did you look into this one or did you look into that one, you know, that guy who is in the back, supports like solidly, not just, you know, push. So that I want to be that
and be make present, sure, you know, I don't be present for her.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah,
makes sense. So that the final last four questions, I call it, I'm still trying to think what I call it, but let's call it rapid four.
Okay.
I think I've asked you these questions before, but let's do it again. Sure. Maybe things have changed, right?
Change,
so
yeah.
What's the best advice that you got and by who?
Ooh. This question always makes me think. Rich dad, poor dad, buy assets. I think that's the best advice I ever got so far.
What's the worst one? I'll not ask by who, but what's the worst advice?
Okay, I won't say who, but the worst advice is, why are you so after money?
But they, like, do you think that
this
they
is
knew
a common
you?
Again and again I hear. In my village, in my friends, in my family, again and again, why are you so after money? And no matter, even if I try to explain, they don't understand. If I have money, I can help more people. I can hire more people. You know, I now we are a team of 10, 5 employees, like, who are working full time, and 5 agents. If I don't have money, I cannot run the business. If I don't grow it, I cannot help more people. A young guy, he just got out of his college. He would have looked for another 3 months, 4 months. He got a job immediately at something, you know, which he would continue to keep that gratitude for next, you know, because that's a good start for him. Things like that, right? Like little things. if you have money, you can help.
Yeah.
You can do charity. Like I can get, you know, everyone talks about bad roads in our village. Once I have, you know, certain money, I can go make those roads. I can build a school. If I have money, money with a good mindset is powerful. Whereas the bad advice is like, you know, money always makes people bad. That's not always true. I have seen so many good people.
Oh, you know, money just makes you more of what you are.
Yeah.
So if you are kind, you'll just be kinder.
Yeah.
If you are evil, you'll just be, you know,
evil.
You'll be worse, right? So that's great. Is there any rule that you think that, you know, like if you were made, I don't know, president of the world or something, right? So like, is there any rule that you would want to implement that everyone has to follow?
Follow your instincts.
Because,
You know, there is no right or wrong answer. Even your instincts could go wrong, but follow it. It's yours. Give your best. That's one thing that always helped me so far in life. Like, you know, coming from like, you know, Canada decision, like even though my dad wants me to get out, but when my friends told about Canada, I was impressed. I said, let's go. Even like my wife, I took a big risk. Actually, my parents didn't know we married. Actually, I got married before we married. I got married before we married.
What do you mean? Do they know that now?
Yeah, now okay, I told them.
Okay.
So we got married in 2018, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, we didn't get married in 2018. I got married in 2014.
Oh, so four years, did not tell your family?
I didn't tell anyone.
Why?
Not even her family or my family.
Why?
They don't understand at that point. Because at that point, I'm struggling. At that point, their point of view is correct. I said, I'm going to get settled in life first. I'm going to help you with your sister's wedding. Then I'll get married. Because our culture, you know, there is some bad things that I don't like, which is, you know, like... whatever. Yeah. So probably Indians can understand that part.
Yeah.
The point is, I stick with my instincts. I knew this girl is mine. I only met her once before I proposed.
Okay.
One day.
Okay.
And that, for some reason, instincts kicked me. And I said same thing when I got my job. Like I wanted to do this like an instinct. And when I quit my real estate, same thing. I went with my instincts. I don't know if it's going to be wrong. I tried so many other things. Everything led me to another thing. So nothing made wasted. In
Makes
India,
sense.
My network marketing company got burned down. But actually that led me to Canada. And I don't know. I cannot imagine like, you know, my life, how it would have been
if I would not have come to
Canada.
Makes sense.
So there is so many interconnected, but I followed my instincts.
And at that point, I think, you know, you feel that, oh, you know, everything has gone, you know, everything, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then 10 years later, you're like, oh, that's the best thing that could have happened to
exactly.
me. Yeah, so I think at that point in time, we just don't see that, but everything happens for the good.
I think no matter what you're going through, stick to your instincts. Like, because, you know, there's no right or wrong answer. Only it's you. Because if something goes wrong, you take responsible, learn from it.
Move on. Last question. If you were to take someone out on a lunch or a dinner, could be dead or alive, if you had one wish, who would that person be?
My grandpa.
Oh, why is that?
He's the only one I have seen in my life always smiling.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Always. When my second wedding, known wedding happened, he was there. My friends from Canada, they came to wedding. I didn't know actually he was in final stage of his cancer.
Oh.
But I didn't know he was always happy. I didn't know he was, like, I know he had cancer, but I thought it's just, you know, like, you know, people have cancer for years, right?
Yeah.
That's how I thought. But then after wedding, my parents told me we were actually scared where he would die during the process.
Oh, okay.
But I see some of my pictures from the wedding. He was so happy, like always, you know, with my friends, like, you know, let's have party, this and that. He's that guy, like, taught me how to be happy. I think, you know, many people give me good side of comments. You're always smiling. I think the smile came from my grandpa.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. What would you tell him if you met him?
I don't tell him, we'll just have a nice party drink. He likes daru.
Achha, nice.
Yeah, nice, the most expensive one. We want to have a good time, like,
very nice.
Not telling, we'll just enjoy.
nice. Thank you so much, Aditya.
No, thank you.
You know, this is the second time that you are coming on the channel, and you have inspired so many already on your channel. You know, even the previous one when we did, so many people, you know, came to me and said that this guy is awesome, right? So, thank you so much for doing
thank
this.
You. Thank you. Actually, you made me cry today. So, thank you.
All right, man.
No, it's a good memories, you know.
Thank you.